Amen. Lord, make me an offering. Make me. Let new wine come out of me. The process of that, if you look at just naturally how wine is made, it comes with grapes being crushed. How an offering is made, it comes by killing something and putting it on the fire. The process of that. And we all sang it this morning. I wonder if God's going to answer your prayer. And that is really what we do say in the kind of life that we, can I say, buy into how we speak these days, is we buy in not to make me rich, God, make me comfortable, make me happy. We buy into kill me. Humiliate me. Let me have less and them have more. That's oftentimes the process of coming to the place of where God is glorified. Where in your experience, as Inno now said, in your experience you feel less. You feel taken advantage of or offended or so. You feel this is wrong. But the process of getting to the other side where God is glorified is that trust. Is that trust that Fritz spoke about. And we have to, for a moment, get silent and hear what God wants to do. Irrespective of what the world says and what you've learned. It's being led by the Spirit is a dynamic and it's a real thing now. And I think that's what, and I want to encourage you, next time you have a quiet time, you know, just for the first minute. And I know it sounds almost quite meditative, but just breathe in and breathe out and do. And allow God to breathe in. It's difficult to breathe in and eat at the same time. Nee? That's usually what this one is for stuck. It's difficult to breathe in and speak at the same time. I know there's this one, what's that instrument, didgeridoo, that you can breathe in and blow. The guys do this weird thing with their mouths at the same time. But breathing in speaks of, I receive from God. I do what God, I start by receiving. That's why He first loved us. He first forgave us. He first did everything for us. Now we can. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Love as you have been loved. Give as you've received. And so it's living from this place of realizing, Jesus, we have received everything that pertains to life and godliness. Now go be it. And sometimes we forget that. And we need to breathe in. What is God saying? What has God done? What are we thankful for? I mean, whose heart did not rise up this morning when you started thanking God? I mean, even if it's just a little bit. It's just the way we are designed. We function best when we're thankful. Huh? All right. So, last week we had Mother's Day, and I told you this weird thing that you are children of the Mother, the heavenly Jerusalem. And I had a scripture for that. How weird is that? We looked at Galatians 4, verse 26, and said, you are of the heavenly Jerusalem, who is your mother, huh? And she is our mother. And it's a picture, all right? It's not a literal thing. We're not starting to pray to Mother Jerusalem. But we can pray for Jerusalem, just like we can pray for all the other nations. But the picture there is that there's a heavenly Jerusalem. In other words, the people of God by who we belong to. And so we are free. We need to live in this way. We are free from, and Uriah had a painting here this morning, just of that, it speaks of that Hebrews 12, where it says that, therefore let's cast aside all the things that hinder us and the sin, and the things that entangle us, and let's stretch forward to lay hold of Jesus. And oftentimes in worship, or in our time of praise, it's like we come to God and He actually deals with it. That action of praising God, that action of thanking God, that action of focusing on God deals with all the other stuff. And so it's a double whammy at once. It is intimacy with God and dealing with the enemy. And oftentimes we get so distracted by the stuff that we need to deal with that we forget to worship God. And again, in, out. Inward with God, outwardly deals with all this stuff. And so this Galatians 4 really speaks again about our citizenship. Most of you, your citizenship is in South Africa. Whenever you need to fill in a contract or something, they ask you your citizenship, where your ID. It's in South Africa. Some in Holland. Do you still have your? So it's Holland or Netherlands. There's maybe a few other Ugandan. Any other nationalities that we have represented here? Venus, Mars. May not from me. It feels like that. But Pana, where are you from? Tableview. Where? Pretoria. So, but we've got a citizenship, and that determines the laws under which we live. And what God, through the rebirth and through our heavenly life, through our life, our relationship with Him, wants to remind us of is that earth is a temporary place. Your citizenship is in heaven. And so you live according to the rule of heaven. It doesn't mean that you can be just rebels on earth necessarily. Sometimes we have to go against, if it goes against the rules of heaven. But it means that we are governed, first and foremost, by the rules of heaven. In Romans, it speaks of the rule of the Spirit of life. There's a law. And so, we forgive instead of retaliate. We trust instead of doing it in our own will. Those are the kind of things, how we live, because not because it's a good thing to do, not because it's just better for us, but because it's how God wants us to live, and that's where we live from. So, our citizenship. We're free. Free to come to God in relationship with Him, free to serve God in worship and so, and to serve on His behalf. And so, in this beautiful thing, we are all ministers in this heavenly Jerusalem. We've got ministers of agriculture, ministers of this. They are servants, public servants. Minister means to serve. And so, we all are ministers, servants in God. In the Old Testament, they called them priests, the servants. That's where we get that scripture from, the priesthood of all believers. You are all part of that priesthood. And so you've probably heard it echo, and you might feel like I'm like een van daai grammofoonplate, that you are a priest of God. You are a servant of God. I am a servant. We together have been called here to serve God in a sense upward or inward and to serve Him to the world. Because that's your identity. If you don't do it, you sin. You miss the mark. You're not living according to what He's created you to live. And that's part of our message. Just, hey, we all have been created. He's Yahweh to us. He's personal. He's our Lord. But He wants to be Yahweh to you too. So we call people to the love of God. We call them to this heavenly Jerusalem. We call them to our Heavenly Father. Philippians 3 verse 20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this week, yes, it was lovely rain. Can't believe the weather's like this today. Our boys started playing rugby and with the school, and the first game would have been yesterday. I mean, there's jerseys, everything is a great anticipation. My one boy is he can't contain the amount of excitement. He does a bunch of silly things because he's just so excited. And then the news comes. Guys, the game has been extended to Monday. It's 2-3 days. End of the world. He is so sad. It is that hyped excitement down there in a very, very deep hole. Lots of tears, lots of this. You just like, it's just too. No, he wanted to ride on the bus and the air. I mean, it's just this whole, I don't know what the picture inside here was, but it was very, very cool. And it just got smashed into pieces. And so this is, but we'll see on Monday, hopefully, if there's no third wave there from Pretoria coming through that country, that everything will take place. And so time, oftentimes, when things are extended, it's like, we've hoped for things. And I want to speak about that a little bit this morning. Another account in the Bible, and we get to Haggai. Haggai is a very small book in the Old Testament. You'll probably think you'll see it glancing, or the name will appear through the pages, and then you'll page just to get to there, and then all of a sudden you page over it. I just saw it through the page. You see how it? I scan so dirty blood saying, I see Haggai on a bloke. That's the Gvieta fear. It's two chapters. I want to ask for this week if you can read that book. Now, it's very short. I want to ask you not to just read it for information. I want to ask you if you can read it 5 times each day and just ask God to speak to you through it. So the way that we're going to read is to change, to learn from God, not just to know what stands there. That's not the question. The question is, what is God speaking to you? And Haggai is called a minor prophet, not because he was a small one or a young one or so, but because he had a very short ministry. In fact, his ministry was 3 months long that we know of. For 3 months, he prophesied to Jerusalem, and then it was done. Now, I don't think that will be your ministry, just a 3 month long ministry. But here is the thing. Sometimes we say, God, use me. God, make new wine, new power, new this, new that. I want to matter in the kingdom of God. And then God says, do that. And then it feels less. Yeah, you want to matter more. But here's a man that had a ministry for 3 months, and it's accounted in the scriptures. It's counted as inspired writing. People for generations on will change because of 3 months of ministry. Just imagine what God can do through you and me. And I'm not saying standing on a big platform or so. The reason why it mattered was because it was from God. As the other day I was thinking, I mean, every now and again you wonder, because there's this sense of significance that we all want. I don't know, some of you like the backstage, and we do like it, but you want to matter. You want to, and there's oftentimes the devil comes like, what are you doing? Is it me? So every now and again I get that. Actually, quite frequently, it's like you've got to, is this really valuable? Is this really counting? Teachers will be judged even more than the, so you have this kind of, is this, and the other day I was walking, a lady comes past me there by the school, says, hey, I've met this guy. Now, this is a guy that's in his 30s now. And I met him while he was at school. I was like a young youth worker in a group. We had, Winkelspruitkampen. Henny will know about that. I mean, there was these camps, Christian camps. And I met him there one time. We had a week together. And he's now in Gauteng. So this guy comes, hey, we've got a mutual friend. And he said, yes, you made such a huge impact on his walk with the Lord. I'm thinking, I've not thought of this guy for so long. I can't even remember what I said to him. In fact, having it been so long ago, it might have not been such good things. But God used it. And I want to say that sometimes we do little things for God, or we think it's just the right thing. Don't underestimate what God can do through you and me. And it's not to be seen, it's not to be, but it matters when we do it by faith. And so Haggai is a prophet. Haggai is going to be used by God. But the background of his story is, you remember, and for those of you who haven't seen that, Andrew said he's got a series on Babylon, and just speaking about the ways of the world and so. I want to encourage you to go watch that. It's online. But Babylon was one of God's ways to discipline the people of God, to discipline Israel. Israel was God's people. God was Yahweh. He was their God. They were his people, but they kept on doing their own thing. And he told them, guys, trust me. Guys, follow me. Bad things are going to happen if you don't listen. And they go up, down, up, down. No, we want to do it in our own way. And as the history of mankind, when we do things in our own ways, our will, bad things happen. And so they are handed over to Babylon for 70 years. Right? Some of your grandparents, some sitting here, your grandparents aren't even 70 years old. Somebody was saying the other day, got a phone call. Yeah, there's a lady looking for a church. She's kind of old, you know, late 40s. And it's like, all of a sudden I felt old. It's like, so it's perspective. But some of you think it's old. God, for longer than that. You know, for some of you, twice your lifetime. More than twice your lifetime had his people under discipline. They were in slavery, captivity. After 70 years, because of the prayers of Daniel, because of the prayers of many others, God released them. The Persians took over. And the Persians were actually quite open-hearted to the Israelites and said that the Israelites can go back to Jerusalem to go rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, rebuild the nation, and God's promises can be fulfilled. And so some of these Israelites were so glad. Some of them weren't. And you can go and read the story in Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, and Zechariah. Those are some of the stories that's happening there. But not everyone that was in Babylon went back to Jerusalem. Because after 70 years, they've built houses. They've got businesses. In fact, parts of the scripture says God prospered his people in Babylon. So he was still gracious to them. And so you can just imagine, family business, done well, everything. And here, because God's promises need to be fulfilled, God's word was that Jerusalem is yours. You've got a land. I want to be your God and you my people. Some of them say, we want to go back. But it's not a happy story going back. It's ruins. It's desolation. It's all of that. So, number of people go back, and in fact, they are listed in the Bible. Not special, just people that believed in the Word of God, the promises of God. And oftentimes, when we believe in the promises of God, we're not part of the whole group. The promises of God is taken by few in the world. So don't expect everyone to go with you when you believe in the promises of God. Even some of God's people won't believe in the promises of God anymore. Some of you are waiting for promises of God to be fulfilled. I want you to just consider for a moment, 70 years of a seeming unfulfilled promise. Some of you have been sitting with for a promise maybe for a year. A week, maybe longer. Just because it's not fulfilled yet doesn't mean that God's unfaithful. Okay? And so for 70 years, these people who have given up, their grandchildren are now going back to Jerusalem. And the next generation is saying, we want to go back. And it's interesting that their journey back is the same journey. Where they came from was just next to where Abram started out his journey, Ur. And you see this parallel that physically the journey that they took back to Jerusalem was the same journey that Abram did. What's happening? God is recreating. God is restoring his people. The same like, and Fritz spoke about, who's our father in the faith? Abram. We live by faith. And Abram had a specific journey, and he had promises of God. And so he follows the journey till he gets to Canaan, the promised land, and Jerusalem. Here, the people of God starts to take back the same journey. And they need to live the way that Abram lived. The lesson we learn is that we need to walk by faith just like our previous fathers in faith. There's no other way. God's way is the faith way. God's way is the our hands in His hands way. So they come back, and they come back to Israel, to Jerusalem, and the people start to rebuild. Now, I mean, you just imagine, they come, I mean, these are the pioneers. They come, they're going to, and it's almost like, can we say, like the guys in America, we've got some examples there. Now I forgot their names, but, you know, the founding fathers, and Jan van Riebeeck and them, and all these guys, the pioneers that go to places and they start up, the discoverers, and they start with a new city and all of that. They start up, and it's woes en leeg, just like Genesis. When things start, it doesn't all look fine. You need to build. And so they start, and the first thing they build in Ezra 3 verse 3, if you can just turn there. Ezra 3 verse 3, it says, they set the altar in its place, for fear was on them because of the peoples in the land. And they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, burnt offerings morning and evening. So here's how they start. Everything is like, okay, what do we start with? We start with an altar. Isn't that interesting? We start with a place of worship. We start with a place where there's an offering. Where did they learn that? They learned that from Abram. You go read Abram's life. Every time he goes, pitches his tent, makes an altar, and he worships. The altar is a picture of Jesus, the offering of Jesus. We start our life in God at the offering of Jesus, at the altar. And then we start singing. Make me an altar, a living sacrifice. Okay, so that is a life that it replicates. The way of God is through sacrifice, offering, and Him restoring, bringing resurrection life. And so the people of God start. We're going to rebuild the nation. We're going to rebuild the temple. Where do we start? Sacrifice and offering. We start with acknowledging that we can't do it. We need God, and God is above. God is at the center. It is God, Yahweh. So they start, and they're excited, man. We are going to start. We're going to plant the church. We're going to, everything is there. We're going to do all these things. And for 2 years they build, and they go, and they've laid the foundation. The walls are starting, and somewhere along they stop. In fact, they stopped for 14 to 16 years. And then Haggai comes to prophesy. Let's just quickly look at why did they stop. Ezra 4, verse 4 to 6. So for 2 years they were going, and isn't that how we oftentimes go? It's like, God said, and we're going to go. And then, it's not being done. It's not working as we thought. Here's what happened. Here's why they gave up. Then the people of the land discouraged the people of Judah and made them afraid to build and bribed counselors against them to frustrate their purposes all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, they wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. So here's what happened. As they were building, they actually had funds God provided out of Persia. They had funds to build. They had everything today God commissioned to build. And within the land where they were starting to rebuild, people were coming against them. They were discouraging them. They were causing them to be afraid. They were frustrating them. They were accusing them. Outward circumstances coming against what God is busy building. And so they stopped for 14 to 16 years. Where have you stopped building? Where have we stopped? And if I look at this, this is quite valid. I mean, it's not an inner feeling of, I don't think I should do this anymore. This is real people coming against the building of God. This is real people coming against the will of God. They are discouraging. They are coming. They are standing outside. You are not allowed to build. You are not allowed. They are getting people in authority to write accusations again. They are doing all of this. They're bribing. They're paying other people to come against them. And on top of that, remember, you've now left family and friends in Babylon. For no one here in this new place where God wants to do His work. We have left brick-built homes for tents. Because they don't have homes yet. We have left trading our businesses for agriculture. Now they need to plant and they need to. They have left prosperity for poverty. And so the hope was great, but the reality was not there. Some of the businessmen here would know. So you start off, and I mean, what you start off with, it's not as much as where you're going. Yeah, you are planning a big business and that would be able to either finance things or employ people and obviously generate money for you. But when you start off, it's small. And so the people came and in some way it's like, okay, it's going to be tough. But now it's tough for a little bit longer than what we anticipated. Things aren't working as we thought. And fantasy meets reality. And there's a lot of fantasy in the church. You know what fantasy is? It's we paint a picture. My son had a fantasy of how Saturday is going to look like. it was lovely, and when that realization comes of, oh, it's not like I thought it was. Oftentimes we blame God. Oftentimes we reject, we move away. And God never said it's going to be easy. Come follow Jesus. You have a citizenship in heaven. Everything is going to be great. And now he's like, well, just people aren't happy. They're not so happy that I'm following Jesus. I've got family members that, you know, I literally have got family members say, oh, it's not a real job that you have. It's not a real work. I mean, they're diminishing everything that you're doing. You only work one day a week. I mean, that's... And you glad you the lucky ones. It's today is my day. And so things aren't working as what you thought it would be. I mean, last year we're gonna have just 3 weeks, guys, and then everything is gonna be fine. Lockdown, yay! And we've got videos of people, you know, kind of saying how lovely it is to spend time with the family, and then we're gonna come out, and it's gonna just be. And it's not like that. People are losing their jobs, finances. People are sick. Some people are dying. It's not. And people wobbled. It's uncomfortable. There's frustration. There's accusations. There's all of these different things. And at the same time, God is busy. Make me an offering. Bring your new wine. Their interpretation of God's ways met with God's ways. And it wasn't the same. And then people, what we do then at that moment is we repent. We say, I don't know your ways, God. But I believe that you've got the best at heart for us. I believe you've got it. So I don't know exactly. This is what, but I hold your hand. I walk with you. I thought this was going to be. But I trust for your ways. So here comes Haggai. So Haggai is a prophet. And people, now here's the situation. I mean, whoop, down. People are, the morale is low. People are apathetic. In other words, they're just hanging back. They're indifferent. Indifferent means like, you know, it's that, I don't know, I don't care, I don't, you know, whatever. God will sort it out, you know. So people aren't involved. It's not a nice picture for God's people. And then God raises up a voice. Someone that can speak for him. And let's start reading in Haggai 1, to verse 6. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, while this house lies in ruin? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Goes on, verse 9 to 11. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Now it's not just like such a God is blowing it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors. What a difficult situation. The interesting thing as you read this is that people say it's not the time to build the house of the Lord. In other words, they're not saying we shouldn't build the house of the Lord. That was we heard wrong. They say maybe it's not the time. Everything is not working out like we need to make sure that we've got all our ducks covered. And so they went. They built their own houses. Okay, paneled houses. They used wood to build the houses. Because they are tents. So they're looking after their own interests. And when I say own interests, I'm not now, this is valid interests, securities, food, income, housing, all the stuff that we need. And God is saying, you are going for that first while my house lies in ruins. There's no blessing on what you're doing. And in fact, you are left with But you're not accomplishing things. You are left with a sense of we are not doing, it's not working out. Unfulfilled. Unsuccessful. And on top of that, everyone else is seeing that this is not working out. The people of God that's supposed to be a city on a hill, shining bright. Yahweh is their God. And you always, there's no testimony. And the testimony is just God is against them. He's blowing stuff away. He's withholding from them. I mean, and God can cause that to happen to us. Not because he's evil, but because of discipline. What is our securities? What are our securities? You know, that looking after their own houses and stuff. It's not just physical houses oftentimes. Our securities are what we have, what we do. Oftentimes our work or what we do, we find a lot of security and identity in that. We have definitely our houses, our bodies. Training very hard or eating very hard, you know, the gluttony or over these days, this is some of our temptations to give ourselves to these things and find security there. Health is not against God, no? But to find security and identity there. Entertainment, what we do with our pastime. Guys, remember our citizenship is in heaven. What matters there? And here's what God says. Here's God's answer. So he's asking them and he says, guys, you need to think. You need to think about this. He's expecting them to think because he knows that they can think according to what he wants them to have. But oftentimes our fears and our needs and our comforts and so cause us to think in a very worldly way. That's why the Bible says, don't be conformed to the image of this world. Don't be conformed to the way that the world measures success, measures health, wealth, family prosperity. Don't be conformed to that way. Thus says the Lord of hosts, Haggai 1 verse 7 to 8. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And he says, guys, walk guy. And he's doing this. Wat denk jy doen jy? Now the question is not because we ask that question because we want the person to consider what they're doing and the fact that it's wrong. They know what they know better. We don't think that they don't have a clue what they're doing when we ask that question. We imply that you've got to rethink this. Consider your ways. The Hebrew there speaks of give weight to this moment. Stop. Let that take focus. Consider your ways. What are you doing? How are you doing it? Why are you doing it? Is it for God? Is it for yourself? Is it for others? Consider your ways. It doesn't look like he gives much space for, let's understand one another. So he says, go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it. And that I may be glorified, says the Lord. That's what I told you to do? Go do that. Here's a prophetic word. Build. Practical, go up, build. It says think. Don't think like the world. Think like God wants you to think. Consider your ways. That's why I want to ask you to, in this week, well, it's Saturday, we're gonna continue in this. This is a two-part preach. But this week, read Haggai and consider your ways. Stop and think. It's amazing what the mind can do when it's submitted to God. Because of our relationship with God, because of being a new creation, we can live by revelation. It's not some airy-fairy things. It's when God opens things up to you. How He wants. That's how He wants us to think. And some of it is as simple as go up the hill and build. Get the wood, come down. That's a major revelation for them at that moment. And some of us, the engineers and the, kind of the more, you like this kind of word. Give me something to do. I want to, but this is what God's saying. Go build. That what you know you need to do, do it. Do. Get wood and build. Do what I told you. Don't wait for another activation. Sometimes some people come, we need to have, I don't know, what do you call, some moment of impartation to do the will of God or this, that. And those things are, it's good to encourage one another. But how many of us here, Maurice and Julie is now, Maurice and Julie can check with, but was in Wellington, in the church in Wellington. Okay? Others of you were in other Joshian churches. Some of you have started to join us. But most of us have been in settings where we give prophetic word, where we praise, where we pray, where we testify. You've done it. Somewhere along the line, you've stopped. Frustrated because it's not working like you want it to work, or it's a new venue, or I don't know what the picture. Because you accused. Somebody said that you tried to do your own thing, or you hurt them when you said it. Somewhere along the line, we stopped. Got a prophetic word for you today. Do it. Do it. And I hope you hear my heart. I get tempted with it oftentimes as well. I just wanna, do it net. And as we do it more, it's like it sets in motion things. And you know what the beauty is? When you start doing it, somebody else can see, and you give them confidence to do it. How oftentimes have you seen this dynamic on a Sunday morning? We're here and we're singing, and somebody brings a testimony and or does something out of it. And you in your heart, you're standing there and it's like you feel like this. And then, you witness. You say, and all of a sudden, come together. Now, here's the thing. Every single one of us can be that person. Is that person. And we need to hear. Consider your ways. Consider how you're thinking about this. Just waiting for the leadership to do it? No, but we should be more encouraging to one another. Granted. Do it. As you give that seed, it starts to bring a harvest. Do it. And sometimes we need to, something that's led by the Spirit, we need to make a habit of it. We need to put a habit in it. That's what God did with the laws in the Old Testament. He made a habit, a law for the people to give their tithe. In fact, it was so hectic, they would die if they didn't do it. They didn't keep the Sabbath. And we look at that, yes, that's a law. But actually, as Fritz spoke this morning, is God made it a law so that he could bless them. His heart was to bless them. So he said, okay, a law, because that justifies me to bless you. But it's when we think that he does not have his best for us, that we think everything he tells us is a law. Forgive, it's a command. Oh, my comfort and my... And God's saying, you're looking at your paneled house. You're covering up. You offended. You this. Forgive. Because then you walk in the blessing. Love. Because then you walk in the blessing. And it's when we start looking at ourselves with valid reasons, guys. Money, income, houses, cars, friends, stuff that don't work out. I tell you, they affect me. It's like, this is not reason enough to not follow God. This is not, and I'm not speaking about giving up on God, saying God. I'm speaking about this is reason to draw back. It says, no, build. And it's amazing how within a short space of time, the people rebuilt everything. And God blessed them. Here's how they respond. Years are there. Well, before we get that. So the discouragement, the fear, the offense, the distracted, these things, they distract us from following God. Here's a way, just practically, how we build in our midst. Because primarily this brick and mortar is not the house of God. We're all with the house of God in the New Testament is the people of God. Now we need these things to build. And part of it, sometimes when we serve you, it helps that. But primarily, you and I are living stones. So you and I get to build up one another, edify. At a community time, you build by coming ready to give something. You come ready to give a cookie, if it's that. You come ready to give your house. You come ready to give a blessing. You come ready to give a word of prophecy. And that only comes when you prepare, when your heart is looking at the house of God. Your heart is considering. You're not there distracted by your own offenses and by you deal with that. You let that go. You disentangle yourself with that and you come to bless. It's your nature. It's my nature to bless. You know why I say that? Because I've been created in the image of God, in His likeness. His nature is to bless. It's not less. when you bless. But you look at the scriptures. God built up his people by blessing. He blessed. The first thing, oh man, the first thing in Genesis, before God tells Adam and Eve what to do, says, and he blessed them. And then he said, go multiply. Be fruitful. Before God spoke to Abraham about all the things, he blessed him. Before God asked Jesus to go into the ministry, he blessed him. Before God asked you to do anything, he blessed you with his presence. We've got to realize that our spice that we find ourselves in is blessing. And I know some of us have grown up with fathers or mothers or families where you weren't blessed. You weren't spoken of well. You weren't given enough. You weren't, there's in your being somewhere you learned, I don't have enough. And so now I need to build my own life. And I want to tell you that's a lie from the devil. This is what these Israelites said. God says, hey, give yourself to my house. You're blessed. The presence of God. So give yourself to the communities. That's just now we've organized that meeting. But you don't need to go in an organized meeting. You invite someone. You think. We've got a tangible moment here with the TNT students. They are part of our church. Okay, they don't all fellowship with us now every Sunday, but as part of Josh Gen. It's a group of young people full of fantasies. You know, of what God's going to do. And it's all right. God will deal with that. But that you have an opportunity to build in, just like I did with that young man way back. I've had no part of his life for 20 years. But there's a lasting fruit in his life. At least he accounts it in some way to some action that I did. You've got that opportunity this week. No, but I don't have big enough house. You can make something. And yeah, where are they staying? You can maybe say, hey, just one night, I want to bless that whole household that's hosting the TNT student. I want to bless you with food. Yeah, but all our evenings are full. Okay. You can come to a prayer meeting and pray for them. I don't have a job at the moment. So, okay, you can go with them to one of their evening sessions and just be supporting them. Yes, we don't have anything. We're actually away that week. Okay, you can give something towards some, I don't know, what somebody that's going to bless them and they don't have enough. You can give money. You can, any way, find a way. And that's what happened here. It's because it's, you are being accused. You are afraid. You are being discouraged. You are being frustrated. Find a way. Go up the hill. Come down with wood. Build it. And there's this sense of tenacity that we need. No, but it's masks. Find a way. Bless somebody. Do whatever you need to do with masks. Social distancing. Find a way. Bless the person. No, but I need to be vaccinated. Find a way. Whatever the obstacle is, there will be a way if you ask God. Just go up the hill, fetch the wood, come down. There's something in your hands, something in my hands that I can give. And it might not always be received as you've, with the intent that you give, but give it and build. This is the beautiful thing. As God has designed it in this way, the way he will fulfill his promises will be with and through people. He can do it apart from us, but he doesn't want to. And that obligates us to say, yes, Lord, pick me. Haggai 1 verse 12 to 14, and we'll finish with this. It says, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people. Okay, this means then the leaders, the spiritual leaders, and the people. Look around you. Then Fritz, Nelleke, Roan, Ina, Barry, Jock, Lynette, Henny, Uriah, the seuns. Then everyone responded, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. What did Fritz preach about the other day? The fear of the Lord. This is, Lord, okay, we've considered our ways. We realize it's turn. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message. She says, go up, build. And here's the beautiful. I am with you, declares the Lord. Go make disciples. And lo, I am with you. And this law, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Stirred their hearts up. Guys, I don't have all the answers. And we don't have a million ministries that, you know, you can be part of, you know, kind of officially or so. But what I do know is that you have a blessing. I have a blessing inside of me. Not because of what I've done, but because of Jesus who saved me. He came in here. I've got something. You've got something. And as you give it to me, to us, and as I give it to us, the house gets built up. And it might be that God will create some more ministries or so. But just look around you. What can your hands do? What way? Consider your ways. Come before God. God, how do you want me to build? How do you want me to work? And it might be one message, a WhatsApp. It might be just something small in your eyes. Don't disregard it. It's to the Lord. Amen. Receiving hospitality, it's to the Lord. So I want to ask you to reconsider your ways, even as we spoke about TNT. We're going to host a student. We don't have to host them the whole week. One can stay half week with us, half week with you. But let's buy in into what God is busy doing. Next month, we're going to have an opportunity. Some guys might go to another church. We're going to have some of the Worcester guys come over to us. It's opportunity to build the house. And let's say yes, Lord. Amen. Come, let's close our eyes. You know, through this morning, as we sang about God being our heart's verlanger, it's my so mooi, it's my heart's verlanger. And there is this call from God to say, come sit with me, or be selik wach. And there's the breathing in moment. And as you breathe in, it is that considering Jesus, considering our ways. And maybe you realize that, hey, yes, I got distracted. I got discouraged. I got fearful. I got a bunch of reasons why not. At this moment, I want to ask you to repent. Just repent. What that means is change your thinking about God's will. Change your thinking about your way. Turn around. Find God's will. Ask for forgiveness. Say, yes, Lord, I thought I'm too busy. Or I thought I don't have enough money, but I can pray. Please forgive me. Because sometimes when we look at our lack, we also disengage. And God wants our attention first. Consider your ways, and then our action. So just for a moment, change. Make that first decision, as Fritz said. Just make that decision. First step. Might even be that you're sitting and say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I know I've not been involved. That's fine. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I know I've not been involved. Please forgive me. We have got to take that step. It's a change. Okay. Now pray. Lord, will you come and show us? Lord, will you come and show us? Maybe just a small testimony in this week. In the beginning of the year, I made a few decisions about just my health and way of eating and so forth. And when I stopped eating badly, I realized the number of my eating habits was connected to my emotional well-being or not. I can be a bit of an emotional eater. And I only realized that more when I withheld some foods. And so it's been actually something with the Lord that I've been working through. And with the Namibia trip and the COVID stuff and stuff was in my car, and I let go. And I binged almost on some foods. I was like, so what's wrong with this? Is not right. Yeah. And one morning in this week, I was just, Lord, when am I going to get this right? I felt like I'm not getting this right. And it wasn't about the eating per se. It was just what God's leading me. I'm not getting this right. And I had to, and we were praying, and I encouraged people, let's just hear what God's saying to us for a moment about his love. And I was sitting there, and I just heard the words, I'll bring you through it. And it knocked me. And for you, it might sound so, but what I experienced is God says, I'll bless you. I'll help you. And it changed my thinking from, oh, I still need to get it right. I still need to okay, God's going to help me. And it switched and it changed. And so as I'm leading you in this prayer, I want to ask you, don't think on your own strength. Don't lean on your own strength. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on what you think is right or wrong. Ask God. Say, Lord, help me. I'm going to follow you. Thank you, Father. I pray that you'll bless each one here. Pray, Lord, that you'll bless them as you blessed me. I pray that they will hear your voice as I heard it in this week. I pray that, Lord, that they will find the strength, not in their own works, Lord, but in your work. They will find your blessing, Lord. Your thoughts in the name of Jesus. Barry, do you have a song there that you want to lead us in? Or? Okay. You can if you